Sometimes Jesse Davis is talking to us about houses and how to get them all put together, but today we're talking about food and specifically about the farmers markets in our area. Jesse is a farmer, a member of the Grand Rapids Farmers Market, and director of member services for the Minnesota Farmers Market Association. He's on the phone with us to help celebrate the opening of the Grand Rapids Farmers Market. Good morning, Jesse.
Hey, good morning. Yes, it is spring. Torpedoes be damned, you know? And so the farmers market is opening. And, you know, it's definitely causing a little bit of anxiety with all of the pandemic things going on. But it's also a little bit of assurance that, you know, some things aren't going to change. So we're looking at it with excitement and a little anxiety. And I know that a lot of our customers are really looking at it with excitement. So that's cool.
Well, so now it's like 21 minutes after 7 o'clock and people must be setting up, right? The market opens at 8.
Yep, everyone's setting up at the market today, and we've only got 6 vendors today. So, I mean, our customers are not going to come in and immediately be able to buy sweet corn and tomatoes and, you know, 20 different kinds of bread. You know, we've still got plenty of growers and bakers and makers who are, getting their stuff together. So, in a way, it'll be good for us to implement some of our social distancing policies and our pre-ordering and our drive-through and, you know, just all the different things that we're changing for this year. So slow, small, but definitely steady. I've been really impressed with how much work and thought our entire membership has really put into the changes we've implemented this year.
Yeah, so what has it been like to, as a member of the market and as the members come together and they do their planning, what has that felt like this year with this pandemic? How has that gone?
A lot of greater Minnesota farmers markets, the farmers, the growers, the makers, they kind of just show up, do their thing, and take off. And there's not a lot of input they do. There's usually, you know, 2 or 3 market champions that do all the heavy lifting because they're passionate about it and they keep the market going. And then when those people do finally get burnt out, you see a market really struggle because they haven't all been, you know, working together. And so that's what's been neat to see in this particular situation. One, we have more than just a handful of market champions. But two, every member of our farmers market, every maker, grower, has a vote. You know, so it's not like something where it's just a board. The board makes the decisions and tells the membership what's going on. And so sometimes that makes for rather cantankerous decisions when we want to make a change. But other times it really gives each member a sense of ownership. Like their votes, their ideas matter, and that they are heard. You know, every member, we do the whole Roberts rules thing. So we have to have a motion and a second and then a discussion after that. I've been really impressed with kind of the pandemic and some real serious things that we need to discuss, how we came together, drew out a plan for our drive-through, you know, said this is how many hand washing stations we need, this is how far apart we need to set tables. If we run out of space, then we, you know, our craft vendors may not be able to come. And they said, you know what, we get it, we understand. Everyone just really is kind of pulled together. So it's been, I don't know, kind of heartwarming because sometimes, you know, if anyone's ever been on a board or a committee, sometimes you just get into these little rabbit hole squabbles and things like that. And so the seriousness of what we're dealing with now has really kind of brought us together.
You guys have been really busy. A couple years ago, you moved to the new location at Pakegama Avenue and Golf Course Road next to Grand Rapids State Bank. And now you're doing new things to cope with COVID-19. What kinds of things have you implemented?
Well, I do just have to give out a shout out to Grand Rapids State Bank. We still lease that lot for $1 a year. So it's about the best rent I think you can get in this town. But what what we've done is we've been looking at what other markets have done with their winter markets over the year. And we are lucky enough to have been participating in a aggregation project. This is actually our third year. And we were looking at making the Grand Rapids Farmers Market kind of like a food hub where restaurants, institutions, you know, hospitals, schools, farmers could go on to an online app and say, hey, I've got 20 pounds of potatoes, I got 30 bunches of carrots, I got 40 cabbage. And then, you know, let's say a school could go in there and say, oh, I want 4 cabbage from Farmer A, I want 10 pounds of ground beef from Farmer B, and I want 3 bunches of carrots from Farmer C. And so we actually, you know, we're lucky to have that infrastructure already there. So people can, as long as the farmers get on there and let folks know what they have available, folks can pre-order. And so we're doing that just on Saturdays for the time being, just to allow for growing pains and logistics. And we're going to have folks who are participating in that program come in through the normal entrance, but instead of parking in the parking area, which is in front of where the market is, they're going to go along the fence line, drive through, and then, you know, they will have, you know, some kind of identification of what order number they have. And then they will come and pick it up and pay if they need to. They can prepay if they're using a credit or debit card. But if they're using SNAP EBT, you know, food assistance, they'll need to pay at the market because of the rules of that program. And then they will, you know, drive through, get their goods, and then drive around up into the bank exit lot and then exit in the similar spot where they would exit beforehand. So we've already, for Saturday, taken over $5,000 of orders.
Wow.
Hold on, I got to give you a caveat on that.
Okay.
So we are also doing what's called a market share. And so there were a limited amount of farmers market CSA shares available this year. So that does include 17 CSA shares.
Wow.
So I got to put my little caveat there. But still, I think that's just remarkable that our community wants to put their money where their mouth is.
Right.
So that the lovely thing about having that infrastructure from this grant that we participated in, we've got an insulated trailer to keep things cool, and we also have had grant funding to pay for a coordinator for that program. And so I wanted to have her on the phone today, but she's busy at the market. Now, her name's Kara Fletcher, and I think maybe 2-3 weeks from now we might be able to get her on the phone, because normally she wouldn't be there real busy on Wednesdays. Yeah. Today's an exception because it's our first market day. So I think it'll be good, you know, in a couple weeks, maybe we can check in with her and, you know, see what she's learned after a couple weeks on the firing line, and just help people understand. But I should, while I'm talking about that, I should let you know how to look at that online ordering platform.
Yeah, because this is a new thing.
Oh, very much so. It was really only a wholesale option for the last 2 years. And, it wasn't a really big thing for a lot of growers. So it's a new thing for our farmers, too. And, you know, the average age of a farmer in Minnesota is about 58 years old. I would say that's maybe even younger than our average age of some of our farmers. Although we have 5 new farmer members this year, and 4 out of the 5 of them are probably under 40. Oh. So we were pretty excited about that. So the web address is www.localline, so just one word, localline.ca/grand-rapids-farmers-market. So, and I can share that, you know, with you after we get off the phone here, if you want to put that online somewhere on the Facebook page for KBXE, KXE. But yeah, some of the other things that we've been planning on: increased hand washing. So we've always had at least one hand washing station at the farmers market, but we are building just very simple but Department of Health approved hand washing stations that are made out of 5-gallon beverage containers. You know, think of your Gatorade kind of beverage container. And we're retrofitting those with the kinds of spigots where the water can flow freely, kind of like on a coffee urn. You don't want to have to be constantly pressing a button to get water to wash your hands. And that'll just go into a 5-gallon bucket, soap, paper towels. And we're going to have 6 of those around the market. We're also implementing, 6-foot space between vendors. We are putting a table in front of the vendors to increase the amount of space between customer and vendor, because we really need to keep our vendors safe as well as our customers.
Right.
And so that spacing, we are not, unfortunately, offering, at least at the beginning, our kids program. We just didn't see a way to safely and sustainably run that program. Last year, we gave out well over $6,000 worth of $2 tokens to kids to buy fresh produce last year.
Wow.
And it was so fun. It was so cool. I mean, those kids were the best naggers of their parents, Mom, we got to go to the farmer's market. they were our best customers. But, not only were we really struggling with how to logistically, keep things safe and have social distancing. But a lot of the sponsors of that program, I mean, that money doesn't grow on trees. We had to raise that $7,000. Some of our sponsors aren't even in business right now. We had a lot of $100, $250 donations from local orthodontists or dentists or an acupuncture clinic. And we just didn't feel that we could, in good faith, ask those folks to support a program when they're not even open. So we're hoping to see something later in the year, but I think we've all learned that we don't know what's going to be happening, and we have to kind of plan for the unexpected.
Yeah.
But we are still doing our SNAP EBT program. We do have one of the most successful SNAP EBT programs in the state. And one of the big reasons for that is that we do such a great match for folks on food assistance. Every dollar that folks spend of their food assistance on their EBT cards, we give them 2 additional dollars to spend on food. So that makes $10 of food assistance turn into $30 of local food and $30 in our farmers' economy. So that will still be available. We'll be sanitizing the little card reader every single time. Definitely cognizant of that, but we know that now more than ever there's more folks on food assistance as folks are struggling economically, and we'd love to make sure those folks can still access local food.
We are talking with Jesse Davis from the Grand Rapids Farmers Market. Jesse, what would you think is going to be at the market today, this early in the season?
Well, there's going to be ramps. And for those who don't know, wild ramps or wild leeks, they're a wild onion that actually grows in the forest. And they are incredibly pungent. They can stink up your kitchen in no time. And they're just kind of a cross between a green onion, a chive, and maybe a little bit of garlic, but they're just wonderful in pasta or in rice or mixed into a stuffing, or they're really good in a salad dressing if you make like a vinaigrette. So those will be available. We're going to have baked goods, of course. That's something that you certainly don't need to worry as much about what's coming out of the garden for wonderful whole grain breads. We're going to have honey, maple syrup. There's going to be meat there from Willow Sedge Farm, and then also some jams and jellies and things like that. So typically, this time of year, it's the produce is kind of sparse. And Brindlewood, which is one of our bigger high tunnel growers won't be at the market today. They're still kind of getting all their starter plants ready, but soon they'll be bringing baby kale, baby spinach, baby lettuces, plus starter plants, tomato plants, pepper plants, things of that nature.
Yeah, we've had another cool spring here this year.
Yeah, we had a couple stretches of warmth, and Lord knows we had cabin fever. And I think we just kind of forgot that we typically need to wait until after Memorial Day, or even a few ticks afterwards. I know it's usually that we wait till the first full moon after Memorial Day, unless the weather's saying no chance. But a cold, clear night and a full moon can be pretty damaging to to our tender little starter plants.
Yeah. What is happening at Trout Lake Garlic? Have you had a good spring so far? Are the garlic plants coming up?
Yeah. It's been, at least in our area, it's been kind of a drier spring. The mud season has been less diabolical than usual, which is nice. I only had about a week where I wasn't able to get my car back to my house, so that's been good. Garlic is up about 3 inches. It looks strong. It's poking right out of that mulch. So, we're very excited. I shouldn't say this, but I had to buy garlic at the store the other day.
What?
I'm out. What? I know. It's pathetic.
Oh, Jesse.
I know.
Oh, well,
play me a wah, wah, wah song.
Yeah, we need that. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. All right, I have one more farmer's market question for you. I mean, we're hearing a lot about the food supply chain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, will there be a lot of food at the market? Will there be enough for everybody?
Well, we've struggled with that at times, that we haven't had enough grower capacity because farming is a tough job and it pays poorly. I mean, that's kind of the long and the short of it. And so that's one reason why we're so excited to have some of these new younger farmers that are passionate, that understand that it might take a few years before they kind of get their business model going perfectly, but they want to do it. Mm-hmm. And so, I think we will definitely see some more food. I also am involved with the Deer River Farmers Market, which has been, trying to get started for the last couple of years and kind of struggled with having enough growers. And one of the things we've been discussing is, could it mean that all these folks that are at home thinking, shoot, I need to start growing my food, are they going to end up with some bumper crops? Are they going to maybe think about, oh, maybe I could sell at the Deer River Farmers Market? Mm-hmm. At the Grand Rapids Farmers Market, we have a membership cutoff, and we really can't take new members after pretty much the first market. But for smaller markets, whether that would be Deer River or some of the other markets in greater Minnesota, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some brand new growers come in because they've started getting some green thumbs or have started to want to increase their own food supply. We don't have a shortage of vendors this year, but I have a feeling that we're going to have some customers, especially with the online ordering where people can just click, click, click in their PJs and pay with a credit card. I mean, we all do a lot more frivolous shopping with credit cards than with cash, right? And not that local food is frivolous by any means, but certainly if I'm paying for something in cash, I'm a little more cautious with what I spend, and most purchases at the market are in cash. So I think that we may see some scarcity at the market simply because we have higher sales. So we'll see. I mean, this is going to change the way our market runs permanently. I don't think, when COVID has gone its course and we figured out how the heck to live with that, I don't think our market is going to go back to the way we were. Yes, we want to get our kids programming back. Yeah, it would be ideal that we don't have to practice so much social distancing. But I think pre-ordering and drive-through and bringing our farmers into a more of a digital connection with our community, I think that's that's going to stay.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, I know you and Warren are excellent cooks, and I just have to ask you, have you been cooking up anything notable while you've been staying at home?
Yeah, nothing terribly notable. I mean, it was Cinco de Mayo yesterday, so we had to do Taco Tuesday. So we made some shrimp tacos, and those were super yummy. And we actually put a bunch of those chopped ramps into the rice as it cooked. So that was a really yummy rice and shrimp there. But I haven't done anything too terribly extravagant, but I definitely have put on some pounds. We've been cooking a lot. But it's also been, we've just gotten more creative with what we do with our leftovers, too. And so that's been kind of fun. We don't use a lot of recipes. We kind of just make it up as we go along. So as long as you've got, you know, garlic and onions, you can pretty much make everything work.
Well, you guys have had a lot of experience in the restaurant industry, so I was just curious kind of what you've been doing.
Yeah. And I have to say, I'm really glad that I'm not involved with that hospitality industry right now from a very selfish standpoint. My former coworkers down in New Orleans and down in the Virgin Islands are just really hurting. You know, these are places where, you know, in New Orleans, we made $2.13 an hour. In the Virgin Islands, we made $3 an hour. Everything was tips. And so, you know, even with unemployment, it's just really a challenge. And then, you know, the logistical safety net systems for unemployment are just so paper thin in communities like, you know, the U.S. territory of the Virgin Islands or down in Louisiana and New Orleans. So it's been a really tough time to be in the restaurant industry. And to-go sales and takeout sales, I mean, they're a Band-Aid. They're nice, but that's not going to help these restaurants. So I'm kind of biting my nails and, you know, crossing my fingers that when we are able to get back into restaurants, that they're still viable. So send out some good vibes to your restaurant, your hospitality workers, KXE, KBXE listeners, please.
Yeah. Jesse, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Well, thank you. I feel like I was making you drink from the fire hose a little bit today, but just very excited that our market's opening and spring is here.
It's great.
It is great. Thank you.
All right.
You.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye, guys.
That's Jesse Davis from Trout Lake Garlic and the Minnesota Farmers Market Association. He's also a member of the Grand Rapids Farmers Market. Market is open from 8 to 1 Wednesdays and Saturdays. You can find them on Facebook and at their website, grfarmersmarket.org. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show, connecting you to some delicious food.